Thank you for listening to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Larry Suttle, the preaching minister of over 20 years, weekly instructs and encourages those attending the services at the 10th and Broad Church of Christ in Wichita Falls, Texas. Let's join Larry now for this week's lesson.
Wednesday evenings, beginning September the 10th, we will be getting back to Full Cup Cafe with a meal beginning at 5:45, going till about 15 till 7. Then at 7 we'll start our worship time and lesson time. September the 10th kicks off Full Cup Cafe. We have charity from the Welch Street Church in their traditional kicking off a new season for us, and they will be here on that night, September the 10th. And then on September the 17th, the following Wednesday, I will be leading our study beginning that night, and I am calling it Spirituality for the Rest of Us. Spirituality for the Rest of Us. And we're going to be challenging some notions that people have about spirituality and what it is and what it takes to have it. We will challenge some pretty entrenched notions and definitions that are sort of forced fed to us about what spirituality is, what a person must be like if they are to really be God's person. We've had a lot of folks, and I've shared in that, giving you a description of what you need to look like as a spiritual person. Well, we're going to kind of be stepping back and looking at those concepts and see if they really do match what God said in His Word. Because, you know, sometimes we can look at these so-called super saints, those people who in our mind are just really above our ability, it seems, to even come close to them, and we get discouraged. We think, well, if I can't be that, and I don't think I can be, then I just may not be what God wants me to be. Well, we're going to challenge that. We're going to try to put spirituality down on a real level, but on a biblical level. What does God say about you and the kind of person you need to be, as opposed to what human beings try to tell you you ought to be? Spirituality for the Rest of Us. And that will begin on September the 17th. It'd be a great time for you to invite friends, people who are not members of a church, non-Christian folks. Would love to have them come enjoy the meal, stay for this series of lessons. Spirituality for the Rest of Us. That's Wednesday evening. Now, I've got to say, though, Mary's out there somewhere, I'm sure she would want me to say, that in terms of the meal being provided on Wednesday nights, we need more people signing up for the cruise. And if we don't have enough, then we can't have the meal. So we are anticipating that today you will sign up if you haven't done that, and so far not many people have. And so today is the day to kind of step forward and say that you'll be on one of our cooking or cleanup crews for Full Cup Cafe. Otherwise, we'll not be able to have it. We just don't have the personnel to do it. So sign up for that so we can have the meal. It's a great time together. But to Wednesday nights can be a very important part of your spiritual walk with God. And we hope you'll be a part of it. Now, the rest of the time that I want to spend this morning, my time up here, I'm sort of nervous about it, sort of reluctant about it, because, well, I'm going to sort of walk you on a little tour of the desert. Have you ever done that? I remember one time going to a resort area and the salesperson telling Nikki and I, okay, now over here is where there's going to be a great recreation center, and over here is where the homes are going to be, and over here is a beautiful Olympic-sized swimming pool, but all we saw is desert. But they wanted us to sign on the dotted line in the belief that that desert is going to be transformed. Have you ever been through one of those sales presentations? I'm going to sort of be doing that today. We're going out to the desert, and I'm going to show you. Now, over here is a recreation center, and over here is going to be beautiful homes, and over here is an Olympic-sized swimming pool, and you're going to want to be a part of this. And so I need you to sign on the dotted line. I thought about that a lot, and I thought, well, that's kind of dumb to do that. So I don't think I will. Then I wake up the next day, yeah, I think I will. Then the next day, no, I don't think I will. But I've decided to do it, even though I'm nervous about it, because I think it's important. Now, I know that I'm going to be sharing with you something that is not yet reality. It's a plan. And so you have to sort of have faith that it's going to materialize. And so I'm going to be asking for your help. I'm going to be asking for your interest, for your participation, and for your prayers as this develops into reality. I know that human plans can be presumptuous. In fact, the writer of Proverbs, the wise man of Proverbs, in Proverbs 19:21, said, "Many are the plans that fill human hearts, but it's God's purpose that will prevail." And so I know that's the case. James in James 4:14 said, what you ought to say is, "If the Lord will." And we're certainly saying that this morning. But we believe it will be His will because it fits very much into His overall purpose for His church and for His people. And even though it's only a dream at this point, I believe it's okay to mention it because Paul did. I think about Paul in Romans chapter 15. He wrote the Romans. He had never been to Rome, but he wrote the epistle the letter to the Romans. And in chapter 15, he said, "I'm going to come to see you. This is my plan. I'm going to come to see you on my way to Spain." Now, Spain was the outermost point of human civilization in the Apostle Paul's time. So he was stretching out as far as he possibly could to take the gospel. But he said, "I'm going to go to Spain. And I'm going to come to see you. I've got to get over to Jerusalem first to take this special contribution that I've been raising among all the churches. And I'm going to take that to Jerusalem, give that to them. But then I'm going to come see you in Rome on my way to Spain." Well, that was his plan. Now, we don't know if he ever made it to Spain or not. But we know he made it to Rome. We know he made it to Rome. And so we may not, in our plan, reach the ultimate that we have in mind, but we may. Paul may have made it to Rome. But we've got to have plans. And so I decided that I'm going to share with you my dream, my plan, so that maybe you would be inclined to buy into it and want to be a part of it. Because I think it's a good one. I hope it's a good one. And so if you're praying for it and supporting it, well, we can't miss, I don't think. My role, my special focus as a full-time minister here is outreach. That is attracting people to the Lord and the Lord's kind of living, attracting people to the gospel who may have very well been turned off by the gospel because of televangelists or phony balonies or who knows what, hypocrites, but attracting them to the gospel and attracting them to the Lord's family, the church, because it's very much His will that you not be alone. You know, God said it's not good to be alone. Oh, and that's true. whether you're married or not, there's people who will never be married, but still God wants for all people to be a part of a family, to be connected so that we can nourish each other in this Christian walk. If we ever go out on our own, just like that ember burning brightly in that pile of embers in a fireplace, but if it's set over by itself, it will go dark and cold. Well, God knows that, so He wants us to be a part of a family. So that's my special focus as a full-time minister. The other guys have other responsibilities, but that's mine. And I'm excited about it, and now I have some great deacons who I will be supporting and providing resources for in this great work as well. And so we're going to, like we never have before, start looking out and seeing how we can better reach out and attract people to the Lord and the gospel and the Lord's family. Now, in that regard, I've long felt that really people are attracted and are one to Christ one at a time. Now, I would love the idea that we could take off in an airplane and fly over Wichita Falls and dump out a bunch of material, and people would pick it up and read it and say, oh, I need to be a Christian. I think I'll run down to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ tomorrow and sign up. I'd like to think that we could, in a mass way, make people Christians. And certainly, we can do certain things in mass, but I really believe that a person is one to the Lord and the gospel and the church, the family, one at a time, one individual at a time. That's how Jesus did it. He went to one individual at a time. In the past, we have tried to do that in many ways, and we're very successful, by the way. I can look back at my growing up years, and I can look back at the church, how it functioned. In the 60s is about my earliest memory. And I remember such phrases as cottage meetings. How many of you remember that term, cottage meetings? That's thunder from on high, surely. I don't think I'm doing it. We'd have home Bible studies. We'd have Jewel Miller film strips. Hold up your hand if you've ever heard of a Jewel Miller film strip. We even had Jewel Miller here one time, stood on this stage and preached to us. He developed a study series, 5 parts, and you would show it on a film strip machine or projector. How many of you have ever heard of a film strip projector? You know, they still have the Jewel Miller film strips, by the way, but they're on video now, DVDs, and they still have their place. They still have their place. But really, this is sort of a new time. The Jewel Miller film strips were based on the premise that everyone who comes through our doors and thus might be interested in a home Bible study or a cottage meeting watching these film strips are people who believe in God, who believe in the Bible, and if they just can understand what the Bible says, they're ready to go. Now, that was the premise. Well, this is a new time. It was very effective in the time of the 50s and the 60s and maybe the 70s. But something happened in the late 60s on into now. It all started maybe with Woodstock or Nixon. Who knows? We spend a lot of time on the sociological aspects of when and how society changed. But we know now that in 2008, society is very much different. The people who come into our assemblies are at different points. No longer is there a one-size-fits-all kind of approach to win people to the Lord, the gospel, and the church. Because people are all at different levels. And so my dream, and this is what I want to try to hook you in with this morning. This is the resort center and the swimming pool and the beautiful homes in the desert that I'm trying to sell to you this morning. I have personally committed myself over the next several months to write material that will be used as basis for studies that we will offer in our Welcome Center. We'll have brochures printed up. We're taking this area back here that used to be our control area, our video and audio control, back where Alan's standing. He came in just at the right time to be my model. So look back at Alan, see where he is. There's our model, our beautiful model. And we're going to turn that into an information center so people who leave out those doors will have easy access to signing up for various things. And we'll sort of have that as a welcome center as well. But we want to be able to offer at all of our services to anyone who comes in, and we'll offer the courses in other ways as well. Who knows how we'll get the word out, but we'll certainly do it in our assembly times. If your life is at such a point and you are interested in a special learning track to fit your life, we'll sign up here and someone will contact you. And that's why I need you, because, and I already have in my mind my faculty, and I want many of you. Now, it's not for everybody, and if you don't have that gift, well, don't you beat up on yourself. That's one of the things we're going to be talking about on Wednesday night. Not everybody's the same, and so not everybody is gifted for this kind of thing. But if you are, then I want to be able to give you a person's name that's signed up in our Welcome Center, and you make contact with them, and you have this material that you have become familiar with. It's just, we're going to be offering several, but you're just going to be dealing with one. And you'll contact them, and you'll go through this study with them at an assigned, mutually agreed upon place and time, whatever's convenient for them and safe for you. And in the process, you will develop a relationship with them over a period of about 5-6 weeks. And you will be there to kind of mentor them and sort of hold their hand as they get going and get started. Because you don't just baptize a person and then say, okay, you're on your own. Oh no, there's a mentoring time that needs to take place where that person can ask questions and share, you know, I'm having problems with this. Even though I was baptized the other day, explain to me why I still have the same old urges. Well, that's reality. And so a good mentor, see, can walk those people through and say, yeah, I know what you mean. I mean, it's not easy. Well, anyway, that's the idea. Let me share with you the swimming pool and the houses and the resorts that I want to build, that I'm personally committing to write over the next several months the curriculum for. And so if I'm holed up at the Midwestern Library with my laptop, that's what I'm doing. I'm writing these classes. I've already got one, but have several more to go. Let's put those up on the screen, guys, if we could. Maybe turn off these spotlights just for a second. And I'll just kind of describe these to you. The first one is Traveling Route 66. Don't you love that picture? Traveling Route 66. You know how many books the Bible has in it? 66. So we're going to travel Route 66. This learning track is for the people who come into our assembly who have no Bible background, hardly at all. I mean, it wasn't a part of their upbringing, and so it's just a big, thick, confusing book to them. And so really where they need to go is just to learn how to navigate the Bible. Well, what's the difference in the Old Testament and the New Testament? And you know, what? When were these things written? And what's the point? And all those kind of things. We need people who will help that person travel Route 66. Just get them acquainted with the Bible. Some of you are ideally suited for that. And so I'm excited about being able to offer that to anyone who comes through our doors and says, hey, we'd like help. Well, we're just the ones to help you. We've got people ready to go to help you understand your Bible. Okay, the next one. Okay, I've given them all sort of unique names. The 2210, what in the world would 2210 mean? Well, 2210 is based on Acts 2210. And the reason that that is significant is because there was a fellow named Saul of Tarsus. He had built his life in a certain way and then had his experience on the Damascus Road. You know, we all have our Damascus Road experience. And I'm really convinced the longer I live that it takes one of those to really change a person. If everything's going swell for you and you feel like you're healthy and prosperous and things are just going swimmingly, probably you'll not feel a hunger for God. But boy, if those props are knocked out from underneath you, you're going through difficult times, there's a hunger for God that you've never had before, like Saul of Tarsus. Acts 22:10 is Saul of Tarsus saying, what shall I do, Lord? What shall I do, Lord? That's Acts 22:10. This course, 22:10, is for the person who comes into our building and they are desperate for change. They don't know what. They don't know how. They just know they're ready for change. Their life is not working like it's going now. Something's got to change. It may be marriage problems. It may be financial problems. Maybe kid problems. Maybe forgiveness issues. It may be leaving the past and going on to other things. 2210 is for that, to take a person who know they need something but don't know what, to take them to a new level. And there are people here, make a great faculty for that. I already have ideas. If they say, yeah, I'd like 2210. See, we're going to have all this on a brochure. And they say, yeah, I'm ready to do something. Well, you've come to the right place. We'll be in contact with you this week, and we'll get together and start talking, go through this study material. Okay, the next one. The answer. Those are hands. You know the in the schoolroom, the guys are saying, I know the answer. I'm ready. Call on me, teacher. Well, that's the idea. A fella, I'm not sure he's here this morning. I'm trying to look at him. I'm trying to look for him, but I don't think he is. He came to us. He's a relatively new member here. And we've had lunch several times, and he's a great guy. And one of the things, well, I'll back up. One of the things I told him, I said, I would like to see through your eyes. Would you loan me your eyes as a new member here? Would you share with me as a new member what you see at 10th and Broad? How can we do things better? And so he was very honest with me, and I appreciated it very much. And one of the things he said was, well, at 10th and Broad, I see folks involved doing their thing, but I don't know how I can get involved. I don't know who the deacons are. I don't know who really the elders are. I don't know what your programs are. So is there a way that you can somehow get across to folks, new members or otherwise, how to get connected and start doing things for the Lord? Well, the answer is in response to that. The answer is for all who are tired of sitting on the sidelines and are ready to be involved in some way. They are gifted in certain ways, and so they want to use that. And I believe that all of us have that longing to be fulfilled, knowing that I'm doing something significant. The answer comes from Isaiah chapter 6, the name of it, where God says, "Who will go?" And Isaiah says in a remarkably impressive way, "Here am I, Lord, send me." And so if a person is to that point, now not everybody is at that point, but if a person is, that they are ready to say to the Lord, "Here am I, send me, what do I do?" Well, the answer is going to be the answer to that. And so a member of our faculty will contact them and go through maybe a gifts inventory, kind of help them see in a new way where they are gifted of God, where their interests are, and then develop a relationship and mentor them into some significant way. Hold their hand as they get connected to a new idea or to a new ministry. All right, the next one. Thomasville. Don't you love my names? I'm impressed with the names I tell you, this resort and swimming pool is going to be great. You're going to love it. It's going to be wonderful. Thomasville. Where did I get that name? Thomasville is furniture. Well, it is furniture, but it's also where many people live. I've been reading lately about how many of our young people are living in Thomasville. Many of our young people who will be going off to college will be living in Thomasville. Where is Thomasville? Well, Thomasville is that place where people, though they want to have faith and their parents have told them they should have faith, or others have said, "Now you need to have faith," they're really struggling with that. They have their doubts. Could this really be true? Could this book really be all that significant? The idea of a God who's created this world, could that really be? I mean, in a way, you know, I want to believe that, but in another way, it's kind of preposterous that there is some being up there who hears my prayers and that he knows me. Out of all these billions of people, he knows me. So, why should I believe? Well, Thomasville is a lesson series that will deal with reasons for faith, reasons to believe. It'll be apologetics is the theological term, a defense of the faith, why there is reason to invest one's life in belief in God. Thomasville. We have folks who live in Thomasville all the time in our assemblies. They're good folks. They'll listen politely to me. They'll speak friendly to you. But when it comes down to it, they're not ready to commit because they just have questions. And questions are okay. And by the way, doubts are okay. See, the basis of this name is Thomas was one of the disciples of Jesus, chosen by Him. And yet Thomas had doubts. He wanted to believe, but he had doubts. And so Jesus loved him and responded to him. And that's where we want to go with Thomasville. And then finally, 10th and Broad Connection. Now this is the one we already have developed. And we've used it already in group format. And probably all the lessons will look something like this in a book form and various things included. Our elders would really like all of our new members to go through the 10th and Broad Connection. The 10th and Broad Connection. This is another class that sort of speaks to my friend's question about, well, how do I connect here at 10th and Broad? It's an introduction to the life of the church. The track will deal with the church of the New Testament in concept, biblical concept, but the local church in particular, with the 10th and Broad Church even more particular. What is our culture? Even terminology, you know, the terminologies we use, the acronyms we use, the acrostics we use, all those kind of things, what do they mean? What do the elders expect of me? What is our mission statement? What's our vision here at 10th and Broad, and how do I plug into that? Well, this track is for new members or those searching for a church family. The 10th and Broad Connection. Well, this is the dream, and as I say, I'm going to be holed up for the next several months. In addition to my, you can go ahead and turn on the lights, fellas, if you want to. In addition to my teaching and preaching responsibilities, I'm going to be really focusing on developing these curriculums. I very much value your input and ideas. If you've come across things that are significant to you and you think would be of help to others, please share those things with me. But we need your help. We need your interest. We need your participation. We need your prayer. But I believe very strongly, and in fact, to be honest with you, I really had in my plans to preach a good rousing sermon series on evangelism right now as we get off to a new year. My 1,000th time to preach a series like that. I mean, you have been hammered so long by people like me to be evangelistic, you probably, wisely, have just turned off your hearing aid. Or you will listen to me politely and walk away, because in spite of the high-sounding words of how we need to go out and teach the gospel, or as Peter told us in 1 Peter 3:15, set apart Jesus as Lord in your heart, and always be ready to give an answer to those who would ask you the reason of the hope that you have, but with gentleness and respect. I mean, those are very clear mandates from God. But what we have failed to do, people like me, is give you the tools. And I don't believe we'll need any more sermons about evangelism if we simply have things at your disposal that you can use, or that you can refer people to others that you know who need one of these kinds of classes and developing a relationship with someone. I just believe we'll have a rekindled interest in looking outside of us, and maybe for the first time in a long time, our generation will be effective in reaching others, because really, the same needs that human beings have always had, whether they lived in the 50s or the 60s, the people have the same needs. They use different terminology, they look different, but they have the same needs in their heart. And so prayerfully, we'll be ready to lead these people in so that they too can have a real, authentic relationship with the Lord. Well, let's stand. That's my dream. I just needed to tell you about it. Our elders are here ready to receive anyone who wants to make a public response this morning. But Ken's going to lead us in a song that we're all going to sing to each other. And let's look at the words and mean it as we sing to each other. Hopefully a new resolve in our hearts this morning. Ken, would you lead us?